This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, let's go around the NFL on a pre-action Monday, is what I'm calling it. Monday Night Football, last game of Week 11. Is a spotlight for your Texans to shine is the third in a group of three primetime games, and the Texans' opportunity to really show out in front of the nation. They'll be doing that tonight versus the Dallas Cowboys. You know that, and you'll be able to hear that right here on Sports Radio 610. Only a two-hour drive because the pregame show gets going at 4 p.m. to get you going and ready for the Texans football. But outside of that, a lot of things happened this weekend. I do want to return to a couple of the games that we were talking about. Bills Chiefs before this game. Mm-hmm. A really interesting thing happened out there with the Bills fans, Bills Mafia. First of all, we knew that our guy JJ, along with the NFL Today, the CBS pregame show for their football, they took their talents to Buffalo to hang out with the people. They were jumping on tables and such. But amongst those Bills fans that are typically well-regarded, they had a hanging Kermit the Frog dressed in a Patrick Mahomes jersey. Is that fair or foul?
Are you offended by this? Seriously. Is this offensive?
Yes.
It is?
For me, because I'm like, what are you trying to do here?
It's freaking Kermit the Frog.
Yeah, but you know what they was trying to do.
I know what they were doing. And his voice and all that.
Have
stuff.
A little coof, man.
I mean,
yeah, like I know y'all be jumping through tables and stuff, but y'all typically like they look at the Bills as them. You know, they're wild, but they're generally nice, and you know they'll donate to your charity when they beat your team and stuff.
Yeah,
hanging up. In a roundabout way, hanging up an effigy. I don't really. I didn't feel like that was in their bag. You know,
look, I generally, and you know me, I generally am sensitive to this type of stuff. You got to draw a line somewhere. It's Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog.
On a stick in Buffalo. And okay. People are saying disgusting. And
so fair?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I'm not offended. Are you offended?
Fair or foul, Lopez?
Okay, if I had to pick one, I'll answer. Fair. It's freaking football, man. Mm-mm. It's a doll. I don't think anybody says, they want to hang Patrick Mahomes. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're crazy football fans.
Well, maybe that was their version of like voodoo or whatever, because it is incredibly rare to beat a Patrick Mahomes-led football team, as evidenced by these stats. I think Shil Kapadia of The Ringer put this up. Yesterday was just the fifth time that a Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs team was beaten by more than 8 points. It's for the fifth time that that's happened and has 124 starts, which is 4%. For those of you calculating at home, just the second time that it's happened in the last three seasons, that it being the Chiefs being led by Patrick Mahomes, losing by more than 8 points. So the Bills with quite the accomplishment in their 30-21 victory.
Yeah, and great finish. It got stagnant in the third quarter, and they finished. And it, you know, we talked about this. We don't have to harp on it, but. That's an entirely different Bills squad than the Texans saw here.
Now, I do wonder like what this Texas team would do against that squad, because the defense has been really solid. Now, of course, right now you're dealing with Will Anderson Jr. Being week to week in a way that really feels like that if they were not trying to really be careful on activations from IR, that he might be on IR right now. Like if that was the case, I'd have some issues. Like full compliment, I think that they could probably still do some level of corralling. Josh Allen, which feels wild, but it also feels like a real praise to what this defense does, because Josh Allen feels like the MVP leader right now.
No, for sure, right now.
Some other things that happen around the NFL. We also mentioned a big time victory for the Steelers over the Ravens that was somewhat helped by a falling apart, it feels like, mm-hmm. of what was previously the most accurate kicker in football. In fact, the moment where he became not the most accurate man in football happened on one of those broadcaster jinks. Ian Eagle mentioned the fact that he had been Mr. Automatic through his career and all those things. And now Justin Tucker is no longer the most accurate of all time. Now, with the two field goal misses that he had, why are you clapping? Oh, he's a hater. I forgot.
I love it.
There's that Cleveland hater, the former Browns, now the Ravens.
I can't stand that dude, man.
His field goal percentage dipped to 89.15 over his career, which now makes Eddie Pinheiro the all-time most accurate field goal kicker, 89.38%. 101 field goals out of 113. He is 29 years old.
This is sadder than anything you saw in the Tyson fight. Well, let me explain. Well,
we already knew that Tyson was washed 20 years
Tyson
ago.
Was 58 years old. You knew what to expect. I'm serious. And we'll get to it again. Confessions. I got a couple of confessions about this fight. But I'm like, Justin Tucker? Say it ain't so, man. You know?
Yeah, but...
And he's still trying to compete at a high level. He still is on a contending team. He's still...
I appreciate the hate that's coming.
Yeah, he really is. He's still... Like, he's in the game. You know? He's actually in... in his career, you know, in the NFL, Tyson was just like, we knew what was going on there. This is sad.
A big-time matchup for these two teams. I don't know how much it matters in the grand scheme of the NFL, but Packers-Bears... That it felt like the Packers got away with one as the Bears offense really came to life without one Shane Waldron. First of all, shout out to Thomas Brown, who apparently should have been given a lot more opportunity to be an offensive play caller. Mm-hmm. And secondly, hey man, Matt Eberflus, what were you doing? Right? Like they got rid of the last two dudes that we mentioned this last week. The last two dudes that you had as offensive coordinator got fired within a week of each other.
Yeah.
And the dude that you previously hired didn't make it through a full season, and immediately he goes, and your rookie quarterback looks like he's wheeling, dealing, finding space and running freely, picking up yards, and only was a blocked field goal away from beating your hated rival, the Green Bay Packers.
Certainly which looked more comfortable.
100%.
I mean, the comfort level is what really, really stood out.
Yeah, for sure. But unfortunately, they lose the Bears against the Packers, and that makes it 2,162 days since the last time the Bears beat the Packers.
That's so sad. Talk about sad.
They are being owned in a way that I did not believe possible. 2018, December of 2018 was the last time. That was Mitchell Trubisky. Do you remember him?
I vaguely remember Mitchell Trubisky.
Is he still around?
Yeah, I still remember him.
What do you mean? When you say around, what do you mean?
Yeah. Is he around the NFL?
I think he is in the league, but I don't. If you ask me to remember. No, I think he is in the league, but I'll have to do some research on that because I couldn't tell you.
Might still be.
Last time I remember, he was like a backup for the Bills, and that is where he is. He is the backup for the Bills.
Yeah.
So he got a victory this week in your face. Hold on, how about that? but not the Bears did not. The Packers continue beating them up. A team that will continue to not get victories, I have a strong feeling. The New York Giants, talk about down bad. This morning, they made it known that they will be benching Daniel Jones, officially moving on from him, which means welcome Danny DeVito, starter in the National Football League. So out of the bye week, the team is 2-8, and Daniel Jones heads to the bench. We were talking last week about how general manager Joe Shane said that their decision wouldn't be made on football decisions alone. Now that they have actually benched Daniel Jones, do you believe he was telling the truth that this was a decision made on football decisions only?
Sell. We'll get to that Thursday. But, I just couldn't imagine that was the case. You ready for next Thanksgiving, that Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh, that's going to be a nasty
little
one.
Little Danny DeVito against Cooper Rush.
Throwing the Lifetime Christmas movie at that point.
Yeah, so it'll be...
DeVito. I said Danny DeVito. Tommy DeVito and Cooper Rush. Might as well be Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I'd rather watch Danny DeVito at this point. Give me a Danny DeVito movie.
Shout out to the 713 who also caught that. But, yes, Tommy DeVito... because it's Giants Cowboys on Thanksgiving, and you know what just happened? Mm-hmm. What I realized earlier this morning. The football gods, if you choose to believe in such things, decided that we can't just have a good Thanksgiving of football. Somebody got to stink, and now that the Lions are good, well, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. and the Giants. You got to have somebody wasting your time on Thanksgiving.
Playing the role of the Detroit Lions today will be the Dallas Cowboys.
or you know what? Maybe it's not even wasting your time. Maybe it's just we need to have one of these games that you don't have to pay attention to so that you can spend that time. That's when you
when you're actually eating.
And that's the thing that is nice, because they typically have what, the middle game, right? Yeah, so it's usually the Lions at like noon. The middle game was usually like Cowboys. Yeah. And then the actual good game that we scheduled just off of night. It being good is at night. And now you can get that middle time right when people are getting Thanksgiving dinner going.
Or that travel time. You might be traveling somewhere
else.
Go to
grandma's house?
Yeah. Like leaving auntie house. Now we're going to grandma's house.
And you don't have to worry about it, because it's Cooper Rush and Tommy DeVito.
They got to do something. But they got to switch this up at some point, right?
No,
it's history.
Yeah.
Man, it's history that's the way that
all history ain't good history, man.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
This is bad.
No, that's the nature of history sometimes.
We got to switch it up at some point, man.
I actually kind of like having a game where I don't have to actually have to pay attention. Have it on, talk to grandma.
Yeah.
Get you some
It's going to be one point where all three of them are just awful, man.
Don't say that.
Nah, it's going to be some point where
you think
it's
Figgy
be
has
like
that kind of power.
Don't
is that what
you're
doing
that,
there?
Figgy. Got to be something good.
Are we in on the Denver Broncos as kind of good football team?
They are.
They beat the mess out of the Atlanta Falcons 38-6, bringing both teams to 6-5. But the thing about the Broncos, and honestly, I was like, are we in on them as kind of good football team? And then I remembered four of those wins are against the NFC South, which they have swept, which means one of those games was a good win. Well, maybe two.
No.
All right, one in a possible. But 38-6. A big time victory, and a lot of it, you got to say, was Bo Nix playing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Is he the rookie of the year?
That is the question that Lopez poses, and I resoundingly say, stop that. He's been good, though.
Hey, let me give you some.
Just in this game, 85% completion percentage, 300 yards, and 4 tutties.
I seen those numbers, too. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. 2,300 yards, Jaden Daniels, 2,300 plus. 14 TDs, 10 TDs. 300 rushing yards, 482 rushing yards. I mean,
yeah, but here's the kicker, right? Jaden Daniels has an offense that's way more reliant on him as an individual. Now, Bo Nix has been a very good. I think this is where Sean Payton gets his due as a play caller and as a coach. They have perfectly identified the things that he can do and the things that he can't do, and they keep him entirely in that realm of, hey, this is the stuff that you can do.
He
does it to a high level. Like, this is the benefit of having Bo Nix, 7-year college starter, right? Mm-hmm. That actually might not be far off from the truth. I think he might have played
I think it's around 7.
Yeah, he might 6 or 7, for real. But he became the first rookie in NFL history to complete 80% of his passes while throwing 4 touchdowns and 300-plus yards. Like, he is operating at a level that is kind of, you know, not reasonable or not usually expected from a rookie quarterback. So you got to give him his due.
It's not really popular to say around here, but let's also give credit to Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
He's looking kind of smart right now, man.
He's scheming up some really good stuff. I have a thought on the rookie of the year. I think when it comes to Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels at this point, based kind of on what you're saying, like, Jaden Daniels, they're relying on him more.
So much,
you know?
More. Yeah.
I think it should be Brock Bowers.
Well, Brock Bowers,
he is killing it.
Yeah, man. He had a crazy game.
He's second in the league in receptions.
On
the Raiders, you know, kind of what you're saying. Well, he's doing more. Brock Bowers doesn't have squat around him. He's got 70 catches.
Man. Yeah, and I'm like, maybe I was not paying as much attention to him, but it felt like this game in particular, where I was able to actually really watch it, they really decided, oh, that is the cheat code on the field, right? Yeah. Like, apparently they watched Georgia enough to draft him, but not enough to realize that is a cheat code.
Yeah.
They just threw the football to him a whole bunch. 13 receptions, 126 yards, and a touchdown against the Dolphins. Most receptions by a rookie tight end in NFL history, and he became the first tight end in NFL history to reach 700 receiving yards in your first
career. He might lead
the
league in receptions.
Yeah.
Ja'Marr Chase has 73. He's got 70, second.
Yeah.
For the Raiders. That, if we're being honest, that's the rookie of the year.
And without
that's the offensive rookie of the
without
year.
Without a quarterback of real note. Aiden O'Connell and then Gardner Minshew for a majority of this, man.
Yeah.
Like, shout out to Brock Bowers continuing to show that cheat code ability that he has. But going back to the Bo Nix rookie of the year, salute to that man, but I personally still handing it to Jaden Daniels. But there's still games to be played, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you play all of these. Maybe he can continue to show himself and actually win that award.
Yeah.
And I have to stop remembering Bo Nix as Auburn Bo Nix and just view him as he is right now.
Yeah.
shout out to all the New Orleans lovers out in our listening audience, because you got a Taysom Hill game. It feels like once a year you get one of these. Mm-hmm. And here was the one, as Taysom Hill had 138 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. I don't know why I said it that way. Also threw the ball one time and had 8 catches for 50 yards. Like, he was just, the Swiss Army knife was actually Swiss Army-ing on this particular day for a big time 230 all-purpose yards and a victory versus the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, give him credit, but how many more of these type, not, well, it's hard to ask for this, but like Taysom Hill impact games can you expect? Maybe one more.
In his career?
It's wild. No, this year. It's wild. He just throws one up every once in a while.
It's crazy how he's having a career like this. Like, what position do we play?
Yes.
Yes.
Athlete.
He's just a
player. In college where they're recruiting a kid and they're just like, I mean, he could play all sorts of different. We just going to label him as athlete.
We just going to put you on the field.
Yeah.
And I just could not believe that they kept keeping on to this man on the roster.
And paid him.
Sean Payton this week got to feel like, I am so much smarter than all you other dummies. I kept Taysom Hill around, and you see why. And I had Bo Nix out here humming. Don't y'all feel stupid?
Yeah.
And yes, in a way, but also, I still can't believe that we are in this place both with Bo Nix and Taysom Hill.
Mm-hmm.
He's 34 years old, mind you.
That's right. He's older.
Because first of all, he went to BYU. He had the mission and everything, so he already came out older. Plus, he'd been in the league for a minute. I still can't believe that is happening. But shout out to Taysom Hill having a big game that ultimately got there. And shout out to 832 on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, who said that Brock Bowers put up 30-plus fantasy points for them.
No, I think people need to reset. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, he's a contender. Bo Nix, he's a contender. The rookie of the year is Brock Bowers.
Now, do it matter how good the team is doing? Is this?
Well, I think it should matter more.
I was about to say, is this like an NBA type of scale? Or
imagine him with a quarterback.
If you're just looking at numbers, then I agree with you.
Imagine him with like a good team and a quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm just digging into all the various people who mentioned their fantasy teams.
Yeah.
Because I guess I care about people's fantasy team for right now. Cam said on the YouTube that he went against Taysom Hill in 3 of his leagues.
Oh,
man.
That hurts.
Condolences.
First of all, someone started Taysom Hill 3 times. There are 3 different people started Taysom Hill.
Well, yeah, I don't even know what to say to that.
Yeah.
God bless. Viacom deals. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 on a pre-action Monday, heading into Texans, Cowboys tonight on Monday Night Football. Two key Texas players defensively are out, and it could possibly be 3. Will it matter? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.